From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on August 22nd, 2024, from the Hyatt Regency Hotel lobby. Ooh, you might be able to hear some elevators, some people mulling through. It's not as crazy as the East Tower lobby, where everyone is bustling through and dropping plates, etc. No, we found you a quiet spot over here. But on this episode of The Lead, it is day 4 at the Democratic National Convention. Yes, the final day of it all. Tonight, we'll hear from Vice President Kamala Harris as she officially accepts the Democratic Party's nomination to be president. But first, we bring you comments from her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, from Wednesday evening when he was front and center on the convention stage. We also hear from South Carolina's own Jamie Harrison and two of our delegates from breakfast this morning.
Yummy.
Now, we also want to hear from you, 803-563-7169. That's our voicemail box where you can let us know what you're thinking about, what we should be doing better, what we already do a really good job at. I'll take that too. 803-563-7169. Like we said, it is day 4.
1+3.
The final day of the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago. Things are winding up here in the Windy City, and we are gearing up for the final day of the convention, in which we will see Vice President Kamala Harris formally accept the Democratic Party's nomination for president. That is the culmination of this hype week for Democrats. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We haven't been doing that at all this week in these pods, and I'm not going to change today. So I want to bring you some clips from yesterday, from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's speech before the packed, energized United Center on Wednesday night, when he formally accepted the vice presidential nomination. The two-term governor, former congressman, and high school teacher, as well as a former football coach, gave one of the biggest pep talks of his careers.
When Republicans use the word freedom, they mean that the government should be free to invade your doctor's office. Corporations, free to pollute your air and water. And banks, free to take advantage of customers. But when we Democrats talk about freedom, we mean the freedom to make a better life for yourself and the people that you love. Freedom to make your own health care decisions. And yeah, your kids' freedom to go to school without worrying about being shot dead in the hall. Look, I know guns. I'm a veteran. I'm a hunter. And I was a better shot than most Republicans in Congress, and I got the trophies to prove it. But I'm also a dad. I believe in the Second Amendment, but I also believe our first responsibility is to keep our kids safe. That's what this is all about. The responsibility we have to our kids, to each other, and to the future that we're building together, in which everyone is free to build the kind of life they want. But not everyone has that same sense of responsibility. Some folks just don't understand what it takes to be a good neighbor. Take Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Their Project 2025 will make things much, much harder for people who are just trying to live their lives. They spent a lot of time pretending they know nothing about this. But look, I coached high school football long enough to know, and trust me on this, when somebody takes the time to draw up a playbook, they're going to use it. And we know, if these guys get back in the White House, they'll start jacking up the costs on the middle class. They'll repeal the Affordable Care Act. They'll gut Social Security and Medicare. And they will ban abortion across this country, with or without Congress. Here's the thing. It's an agenda nobody asked for. It's an agenda that serves nobody except the richest and the most extreme amongst us. And it's an agenda that does nothing for our neighbors in need. Is it weird? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's also wrong. And it's dangerous. It's not just me saying so. It's Trump's own people. They were with him for 4 years. They're warning us that the next 4 years will be much, much worse.
Walz told Democrats to leave it all on the field this year. Yes, more football there. With less than 80 days left until Election Day. Now, leading up to his big speech, which ran past primetime again because planners don't know how to plan, there were big speeches from others who were floated on Biden Harris's shortlist of VP picks, like DOT Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Folks you just heard from in yesterday's pod that spoke before our delegation. But these guys, well, they didn't make the cut, whereas Walz did, and it was clear to many that his straightforward, no-nonsense attitude is what Democrats are banking on in attracting independent and moderate voters.
If you're a middle-class family or a family trying to get into the middle class, Kamala Harris is going to cut your taxes. If you're getting squeezed by prescription drug prices, Kamala Harris is going to take on Big Pharma. If you're hoping to buy a home, Kamala Harris is going to help make it more affordable. And no matter who you are, Kamala Harris is going to stand up and fight for your freedom to live the life that you want to lead. Because that's what we want for ourselves, and it's what we want for our neighbors. You know, you might not know it, but I haven't given a lot of big speeches like this. But I have given a lot of pep talks. So let me finish with this, team. It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field. And boy, do we have the right team. Kamala Harris is top. Kamala Harris is experienced, and Kamala Harris is ready.
From Wednesday to Thursday, we're talking about today, and this morning, South Carolina's native son, Jamie Harrison, spoke with the delegation, giving his own final pep talk to the crew of 65 delegates here in Chicago. One thing he focused on was the Pride in the State's party that he formerly led before going on to lead the national party. That pride included how well the first in the nation primary went off earlier this year.
The way you all pulled off that first in the nation primary was seamless, absolutely seamless. And for all the folks who had doubts that South Carolina would step up, I don't know why the hell they would have any doubts. Because we have proven time and time again, when you stack us up to all of the other early states, South Carolina almost to a primary, with the exception of the time in which, in 2004, right, Trev? When we voted for Edwards instead of Kerry. That's the only time we did not pick the eventual nominee. All the other times South Carolina has always done it. And we've always course corrected where the other states may have made mistakes and to get to where we needed to be. And so of course, this is not a gift. We have earned the right to be the first in the nation. And Crystal and Jay did the work and proved it once again.
Harrison also spoke about the need for more folks to get engaged in making the change they want to see and not just complain about it, giving some big Michelle Obama and OG Barack Obama vibes here with a state focus.
I'm tired of people being damn silent in South Carolina.
Come on now.
I'm tired of them sitting on their hands. I'm tired of them saying, well, I wish somebody else would do. Well, goddamn it, you're somebody. You are somebody. So it's time to see what you're going to do. How are you going to step up? How are you going to participate? If you are tired of Henry McMaster, then step up and do something about Henry McMaster. If you're tired of the Senate Republicans ramshining things, then do something about it. And it's not just on the senators there to stand up. They need help. They need support.
Amen. Come on.
And if this is a team sport, if we are team hope and joy, if we have our MVP and Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, if we have our coach in Tim Walz, then any winning team Crystal knows this. Any championship team has to have some good role players.
Now, I tweeted that video clip out, and Governor Henry McMaster's chief of staff, Trey Walker, replied with simply a headline clipping from the Post and Courier that read, McMaster's win, largest of any governor in 3 decades, reinforcing that a South Carolina Democrat has not held statewide office since 2006. While those delegates here have heard from folks in the states that have changed from red to blue, it requires a lot of work and resources, aka money. But the future is bright, Democrats say. In fact, that's exactly what the youngest delegate in our state's delegation told me and my Unchecked this morning. Thousands of young voters will cast their ballot for the first time this November, and one of them is South Carolina's Harvard-bound 17-year-old Anika Crovey. Here's what has her motivated.
I think, first of all, it's a new generation of leadership. It's a new leader who's going to hopefully push us into the future instead of backwards, as we've seen, you know, with the Trump administration and with that campaign. I also think she has been committed to making progressive wins for a lot of young folks who care about these issues, and she's been championing them. She's been a voice for young folks at the table, and I know that every time she sees young people in a room, she gravitates towards us. She wants to hear what we have to say, and you know, I also think as a young South Asian woman, to have a role model like her, to have someone who I can look up to, who's breaking the biggest glass ceiling that, you know, we see, who's going to be our next president, is something that's so inspiring, and hopefully she won't be the last.
Mayon asked Crovey, the now former chair of the High School Democrats of America, about issues driving young voters to the polls, while people shouldn't discount the youth vote and the symbolism of seeing Harris at the top of the ticket.
I'll tell you, in the past few weeks, I have felt more excited and enthusiastic about this election and the youth vote in particular than I ever have before. I have friends who have no idea like what is going on in politics, who don't read the news, who don't watch, you know, anything like that, who have told me, hey, I'm going to show up. This is going to be my first election. I'm going to vote because I've realized how important it is. And so I have never felt this hopeful. I've never felt this inspired. And hopefully the numbers in November prove it, because I think that young people are ready for a change, and we're ready to see a new generation of leadership. We're ready to put in the hard work to make sure we see the wins we need. You know, Gen Z is one of the most active and enthusiastic generations, and I think that we are really excited when we see a candidate who represents our values and our vision and our hope for the future. We are excited to put on our shoes and go knock some doors and make some phone calls and do what we can to get them elected.
And one final voice I wanted to bring you is from Carlton Senator Margie Bright Matthews. She is a Walterboro attorney who won a special election back in 2015 to fulfill the unexpired term of the late Senator Clemente Pinckney, the state senator and pastor at Mother Emmanuel Amy Church, who along with 8 members of his congregation was murdered on June 17th of that year. Bright Matthews has served in the Senate since then and is one of the sister senators who worked with 3 Republican female senators and several Republican men to block a near total abortion ban. One of those sister senators is Lexington Senator Katrina Sheely, who lost in a primary runoff in June, something that is still tough for Margie Bright Matthews to talk about.
You asked, and my demeanor changed as soon as you said that about my beloved sister senators. I still have PTSD, I will admit that, over that issue, and couldn't talk about it for quite some time. I have contact with them every single day throughout the day. It's very difficult to see somebody like Katrina Sheely go down, and most people in her community off of less than 8,000 votes. And most people in her community, especially women, think that she's still going to be their senator because they didn't vote in the primary. The Republican Party is so divisive right now that they'd rather eat their own. And it's sad because she was a great servant for the state of South Carolina. She was a great servant for those children the Republicans say that they care so much about, at least being born. Sandyson, nobody, I think, stayed in contact with her constituents and continuously fight. It hurts to see that she lost by how many, 31 votes? 31 votes in a primary. So we've got to do something, number one. And I know we need a long-range 10-year plan to make all the districts in South Carolina more, we got to turn back the tide and make them more competitive. Gerrymandering is what's caused a lot of what's gone on.
Senator, just to wrap up here, maybe being a little more of a positive note, when you look
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
But to be from that, like, let's go from that where you're saying division in the Republican Party and looking at the state party in South Carolina to what you're seeing happening right now with the Democratic Party on the national level with this energy, this momentum. Do you feel like that is going to actually deliver and continue on into November when we're talking about 78 days away from now?
Gavin, let me say this again. When we fight, when Democrats fight, we win. And we're not going back. We're going forward, and we are going forward with young, the vitality of our party, the wisdom of those folks that are still there, and we're going to get on the ground, and we're going to have a grassroots effort, and we're going to win.
That was me and State Senator Margie Bright Matthews there. Now, tonight is the big night, like we said, for Vice President Kamala Harris. And we expect to hear from her, as well as North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, former Representative Gabby Giffords and her husband, Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona, and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, among others, who will be speaking tonight. So tune in. You can watch all the coverage on the PBS NewsHour, on SCE TV channels statewide, folks, and on YouTube. But for more of our coverage, head over to southcarolinapublicradio.org and peep our Instagram while you're on your phone. It's called @SCLeadPod. That's on Instagram if you have the app. I know it's new. And we got plenty of fun photos from here in Chicago. And thanks again, guys, for following along with us. We'll have another podcast for you on Friday, so stay tuned for that. We're going to wrap up the week here. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. And Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Well, I pressed the wrong button and it's all gone.
Oh, did you want that recorded?
I'm so sorry.